Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for this gift of time that you've given us this morning to gather together, to step away from some of the demands, the hectic pace of life, and to gather here to worship and to be still and to listen and to learn from you and your word. Bless us this morning, God, as we continue to find ways to bless others. In Christ's name, amen. So one of the really bizarre things that we are seeing emerge in our very crazy culture these days is the phenomena of hoarding. There's even a show called Hoarders. How many of you have seen Hoarders? How many of you have experienced Hoarders firsthand? You've met some people. How many of you are hoarders? We have got a couple hands here. It is such a strange condition that many, many people are suffering from, and seemingly an increasing number of people who simply can't part with anything. And so anything and everything, from newspapers to junk mail to things that come in, you know, anything they have is just kept and kept and kept. The thought of giving away something, parting with something. And people don't really understand what this condition is and where it's come from and why it seems to be increasing in its manifestation in the time in which we live. But it certainly seems that that is the case. But before we start to point pictures at them, let's be honest about this, folks. We all have a touch of the hoarding complex in our lives. We might not make it on the show. And people may be able to walk quite freely through our homes without going down little trails between the accumulations. But the fact is, we all, to a greater or lesser extent, are people who hold on to more than what we really need, who accumulate things in our lives that, frankly, most of us don't really even know is there. How many closets do we have, drawers, places of storage, basements, attics that are full of things that, frankly, we haven't seen nor used in a very long time? How many of us, if we were to look at our bank accounts and our savings accounts, have accumulated quite a bit, much more than what we really need to live on or even live on in the future? we all have a certain touch of the hoarding complex, and not all of that is bad, of course. Saving for the future, planning ahead, keeping things rather than throwing them out, reusing things, that's all good stuff. But there can be a part of it that is quite insidious. When I was in seminary, one of my professors, a guy named Diogenes Allen, who's since passed away, he said that there are basically two spiritual forces that are at work in the universe, in the physical universe, but more significantly in our spiritual universe. The one force is gravity. We all understand gravity. Gravity is that attraction between two objects in which the larger one tends to draw the smaller one to itself. And the ultimate force of gravity in the universe is what is called a black hole. Black hole is this incredibly dense mass that just draws everything, it just sucks everything into itself. Diogenes Allen says, left unchecked, our souls can become like a black hole, where we just draw everything into our own orbit. We accumulate as much as we can, and we draw it in, and we accumulate people, and we see people as objects to be used for our own needs, our own selfish desires and wants, and we just suck everything in. The attention, everything becomes about us. But what Allen said is there is another force that is opposed to the gravity that exists in the universe, and that force is called grace. Grace is the force of nature and the force of the Spirit that allows things to exist quite independently from us. Grace is what allows other objects to have their own orbit, their own existence apart from us. And grace is what allows us to freely give those other things life. What Allen went on to say is that generosity is grace in action. Generosity is grace in action. I want you to say that. Generosity is grace in action. Generosity is the living witness of what grace is all about. Generosity shouldn't be seen as simply that occasional time where we give something to a charity or something like that. Generosity, Allen says, should, for the Christian, become the modus operandi, our way of being in the world. That what we need to do as Christians is develop a lifestyle of generosity, because that means we're developing a lifestyle of grace. Generous people are graceful people. And here's the reason why this is so important. Because God's nature is a nature of grace. And you and I are created in the image of God. And in our baptism, we are called to that new way of life that is to be modeled on the way that we see modeled in God. God is the ultimate grace giver. God could be the black hole of the universe. God, if God wanted to, being the ultimate power that He is, just suck everything into Himself so that nothing exists independently of God. But God does the exact opposite. God allows everything to exist independently of Him, infused with His Spirit, but allows us to live in our own orbits. God's giving is not one-handed giving. God's giving is two-handed giving. That's what we see modeled by Christ when He stretches Himself out on the cross. He gives Himself completely out of grace to take away the sins of the world. Generosity is grace in action. Generosity is what grace looks like. And so, as we put together these slogans, these sayings, these things that we believe capture the essence of our community of faith, of who we are and who we want to be and who we want to strive to be. One of these key statements is the one that we're talking about today. We embrace generosity as a way of life. Not as an occasional sporadic action. We embrace generosity as a way of life because we believe that true wealth comes when we give our time and treasure. True wealth comes when we give. Now, this is a counterintuitive statement, isn't it? What we are taught as we grow up is that wealth is the accumulation of material things. It's the holding on to, the gathering up, yes, the hoarding of more and more, whatever, money, possessions, properties, food, cars, whatever that thing or those things are that we accumulate is a sign of wealth. That's what we're taught. The more you keep, the more you have. We are taught that generosity is giving away, is losing, lessening. But the Bible teaches us quite otherwise. Listen to what Paul says in this incredible teaching about generosity that we just heard. If you ever want to find, you know, the touchstone of generosity, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are the places to go. Paul is talking about taking a collection in this particular church, the Corinthian church, to be taken to a very struggling poor church, the mother church in Jerusalem, and talking about how important it is that people participate in this. And in that, he kind of goes into this whole issue of this. But listen what he says in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way because of your great generosity. You will be enriched in every way because of your great generosity. That's not what we're taught. We're taught that we will lose because of generosity. We will be less. Our net worth will go down when we give money away. Paul says, no. You've got it all backwards. Your life becomes more interesting when you become a generous person. Your life actually expands when you begin to invest in others. When you allow other people and their concerns to become so important to you that you respond to them, your life actually becomes bigger. It becomes broader. You're not giving things away. You're actually, as he says, sowing. You're investing. You're planting for a harvest that is incredibly more than what you would have if you hoarded and held on to your things, your stuff. Your life. It is the giving that makes us rich, not the accumulation. That's an incredibly important idea. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, preached a sermon back in the 1700s. And it's called The Use of Money, and he preached a sermon many times. And he says, the fault does not lie in money, but in them that use it. It may be used ill, and what may not, but it may likewise be used well. By it, we may supply a defense for the oppressed, a means of health to the sick, and ease of them that are in pain. And so Wesley's encouragement to his Christian followers would be my encouragement to you. Gain all you can. Gain all you can. He went on, without sacrificing your health or engaging in immoral action. Save all you can by living simply, and then give all you can. Give all you can. Make yourself really wealthy by becoming a grace-filled person. Generosity isn't simply about our money, but for many people, that's where it needs to start. And the Bible has given a very clear goal for most of us to strive for, and that is 10%. 10% of what we make, the Bible says, is called a tithe. Tithing means literally 10%. And that is a biblical standard that we are to be striving for, each one of us in our personal life and our family life, as sort of this place to strive. And for some of you, that's become part of your lifestyle. That's become part of your generous nature. It simply is a way in which you live in the world. And that is fantastic. But I'm here to tell you, in the times in which we live, for many families, 10% is simply way too little. There are so many families whose income is so great that giving 10% really is just a start. You know, there is a very interesting movement happening now among all people, the millennials. The millennials who have sort of finally moved out of their parents' house, gotten a real job, a lot of these guys are making serious money, and they are stepping back and they are saying, we don't want to live the extravagant accumulation lives that we've seen our parents live that have wrecked them. We want to live simply. And so there's this huge movement that is happening now, and two of the poster people for this movement are a couple named Julia Wise and Jeff Kaufman, who live in the Boston area. He works for Google. She's a social worker. And they are all about a movement called Giving Good. And they give 40 to 50% of their money away to a number of charities every year. They say, we don't need to live with all of this stuff. They have two little kids. After they pay taxes and after they pay their rent and all of that, they live on about $15,000 a year, a little over $1,000 a month, about 6 to 7%. They live on after kind of the bigger things are paid for. They gave away over $100,000 last year to all these charities. And that's their goal, is to give as much as they can in order to be a really wealthy family. And there are a bunch of people that are becoming part of this kind of movement. And this isn't simply a Christian thing, although it must be a Christian act. But anybody can become a generous person. Anyone can see their lives enlarging as they invest and become more connected to the people in this world who are really suffering, who are really struggling. As we invest in our church community and we become more and more a part of this place, these relationships begin to enrich our lives. As we help to build the Crossroad building or to make sure that the ministries are properly led and funded here, it makes us bigger people, greater people. But I don't want us to limit our thoughts about generosity to our money, although that's for many of us where it should start, but that's just simply the easiest measure. What we really want to become are generous people who have generous lifestyles. And so what I want us to begin really thinking about is how much of our time are we using in building significant relationships with other people, not in a transaction type of a way, but in a grace-filled way. In other words, not with customers or people you're trying to get them to do something where there's a tit for tat, but it's people that you're just simply blessing in order to be a blessed person. People whose needs you're noticing and you're stepping up to do something about it. Is your life open to grace? Is your home open to grace? Maybe that's a good thing to think. How often is your home open to people to simply come in and be there with you and your family? Is there time for that in your schedule, or are you so busy pursuing your own agenda that the agenda of other people simply never makes it onto your calendar? How about generosity of attention? How many of you are hoarding your interests in this? Oh, I'm sorry. Were there other people here today? We hoard our attention. We're captivated by things that are interesting to us when there are very interesting people sitting right in front of us. And our lives, instead of enlarging, become small. Generosity it should become a way of life for everyone who's a Christ follower, because we model our lives on the generosity of our God. And so we want to look at how we live our lives and ask ourselves, where is the grace? Are we building new relationships? Do we notice the needs of others? And not just notice, but do something about them in a way that lifts the burdens of people who are suffering and hurting. Have we sent that card, made that phone call, had an invitation to come over for a meal? Let's go for a walk together. How are you doing? That way of life is so beautiful, friends. That way of generous living is what we want to embrace, because we follow a generous God. Lord, thank you for pouring yourself out for us. Your generosity is so great, beyond anything we can possibly imagine. And you did it out of grace. And so you ask us, God, to, in a likewise manner, show grace through generosity. In Christ's name, amen.